Good morning again, church. I promise you, I'm way more excited to do this. Okay, as we get ready to dive into the message, before we even get there, I need to go ahead and take a moment here. We've been in this series called Storm Chaser for 4 weeks. This is our fourth week and final week. And normally we show pictures of storms and things like that. We're not doing that in the service because here's why. The southeast part of our country has just been devastated. And so one thing we are at Great Oaks is just a praying church. And so we're going to lift that up in prayer right now. I mean, as Hurricane Helene came in, and right now I think the death toll is going over 230 right now, and there's still many missing people. So we're going to pray for that. The next thing is, I know a couple of you have emailed me, are we going to be doing something for that? I want to go ahead and say this. Probably next year you're going to hear about us taking a team to go down there to help out with some rebuild, because that's when they're really going to need help. But if you want to help right now, guys, Samaritan's Purse is who we love and know and trust here at Great Oaks. They'll take financial. You can sign up to do it on a team with them. So they do great work, and they've always done really great things through disaster relief. So Samaritan's Purse is where I'd recommend if you need to do, if you want to do something right now. But stay tuned for that. So what we're going to do right now, we're just going to take a moment, and we're just going to pray. So bow with me. God, as we come together as a church, God, I know this morning that there are churches all over this nation praying for this situation, that are on her knees just saying, God, intervene. God, we thank you for the first responders that are down there doing primary and secondary searches. God, we pray for the miraculous. We pray that they find more living survivors than those that are not. God, we ask that you be with the hands that are down there. But God, most importantly, we ask for you to be with all that have lost their loved ones, their homes. Surround them right now with your love, because that is the only thing that can help them right now, God. God, we lift up North Carolina, Tennessee, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, all to you. And God, right now, we pray as there's another storm coming in for Florida, God, that you'd be in that situation as well. We pray all this in your name. Amen. All right, guys. So like I said, this is the final week, week four of our storm series called Storm Chaser. So let me go ahead and talk about where we have been so far. So in week one, I started with, when we focus on the storm, we miss God at work. And then the second week, Pastor Paul did a great job on how storms can show us purpose that we have. And then last week, Tara, as we had Kids in Worship Sunday, who enjoyed Kids in Worship Sunday? Anybody? All right, well, all the kids did. All right, good. All right, so Tara last week talked about through storms, even we can walk on water. Today, what I'm going to talk about this morning, you might be like, why did we not start with this? I'm going to start with preparation. What it means to prepare for things and prepare in for storms, storms of life. Let me ask you this. Who is good at preparing? Anybody? Who just is, all right, I'm going to be honest with you. Who's got that kit in the basement that's got, like, food in it that doesn't expire? I'm not going to call you certain things, but that's who you are, okay? All right. I will say this. We as people, especially in the States, aren't really good with preparation. I know this from my own time. Like, I'm a very organized person, and, like, I like having things in their own spot and being able to do things that work well. My wife will tell you that's not me at home, a little different. But also, I know that when I was in school, and as of right now, finishing my master's degree, it hasn't changed much, I'm not good at preparing time. Like, you know, at the beginning of school, you get a syllabus, and it says, here's when all these papers are due. Some of you hung out with me on last Saturday night, and you're like, Chase, why are you on your laptop? I'm like, I'm doing a midterm. That's due at 11:59, and it's 10. All right. So that's just who I am, all right? It's called pressure. It makes us better. All right. But, guys, we are not good at preparation. We're just not. In fact, our government, other organizations have picked up on how we as people are not good with preparation. In fact, the CDC back in 2011 decided that they made a graphic novel and their own little web page that told the American citizens how to prepare for the zombie apocalypse. This is an official thing, people. It's a real life thing. They did this. What was funny about that is, they did all that, and everything on that list of preparing for the zombie apocalypse was everything you needed for an emergency preparedness for any situation. But I want you to know, up until 2011, that page and that graphic novel was the most hits the CDC has ever had. Hey, that's how we are as people. We're not good with preparation. We need to be, you know, influenced in certain things. And you might be sitting here like, oh, hey, that's not me. We don't need other sources. Let's talk about influencing for a second. Something that maybe 15 years ago we never thought would be real is what we call social media influencers. How many of your kids or grandkids have looked at you lately and said, that's what my future job wants to be? And everybody just in disdain shook their head no. Okay. But let's be honest. Here's the four top people that have the most followers in social media. All right, let's go with it. Cristiano Ronaldo, soccer player, 985 million people follow his stuff and his content. Selena Gomez, 689 million people follow hers. The Biebs got 596. And Taylor Swift got 552. Well, I'm glad an athlete got number one, I guess. All right. And so with all of that, that is where our culture's at and what we look to. Now, I thought, okay, how can we see how we're doing as Christians? And I'm like, well, I don't want to put some like big name pastor up there because that's just building somebody up for pride. So I thought, what is the best thing I can talk about? All right. The YouVersion Bible app. Here we go. Look at that. 750 million downloads. Yeah. You might look at that and be like, man, all right. Not as much as Ronaldo, but we're doing good. Let me go ahead and follow that up with this. Go ahead, hit the next one. But 10% read it daily. Guys, we are bad at preparation. And that goes for every facet of life. And the problem is, if it bleeds into our faith, we're going to have ridiculous problems, especially when we face storms. This morning, as we look at a storm story, and it's actually not a storm story, it's preparing for storm, it's what I want you to hear is this. Storms reveal what we are built on. Storms reveal what we are built on. If you want to know where we're going to be at in text this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew is the first gospel. If you don't know where that's at, it's the first book of the New Testament. About halfway through your Bible, a little bit more than half, you'll find the gospel of Matthew. Reading out the ESV online, thank you for being here. You'll have words on the screen as well. So here we go. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, says this. Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like the man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Now, what you need to understand here in Matthew chapter 7, as Jesus is kind of giving this message, right before this, we call this context, we look at what's before this and what's after it. Right before this, Jesus gave a warning about how you see false teachers, how you see people that say they're of the faith, but they're not really. And what happens is he will say that I've never known you. And then he goes into this text. And then it's not just about hearing, but it's about hearing and doing. Now, Jesus uses this metaphor we see in this text that's about building a house on the rock. It's an illustration. It's a teaching point. If you were to talk about what this practically means in the first century in the Middle East, as you build a house, nerd fact, I had to research this and go to a geological website to find this, you'd have to dig like 80 feet in the sand to find any kind of bedrock. So if people would have practically heard that, they'd be like, man, I got to dig 80 feet down if that's what that means practically. And what Jesus is getting at is it's about our life. Do we build our house on the rock? He mentions this more importantly when he talks about the temple. And we know the temple was built on bedrock. And that's how we know the depth in Jerusalem at that time of bedrock. So I guess my question for us this morning, church, is this. What are we building on? I guess before we can even talk about what it means to build on the rock, we need to know what the rock even is. Let me help you out. It's not this. Hit me. I threw a picture of a truck in there for some of our older clientele, all right? You guys remember the motto? Like a rock, okay? All the young people have no idea what I'm talking about. And it's also not Dwayne Johnson, all right? That's not the rock, all right? That is not the rock we're talking about. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 32, as Moses is near the end of his life, Moses is giving a song in kind of a poetic way, and here's what Moses says. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. Well, who is this rock? This rock, it's God. And then as God has given us his son Jesus, it is Jesus Christ himself. Look back at verse 24 of Matthew 7. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Wise man who built and is building his house on me. Church, are we preparing? Are we preparing? Are we hearing the words of Proverbs, which are wisdom, and they say this, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. That whole proverb is about what it means to be an upright individual. And so as the Proverbs is saying this, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Do we get this? Are we preparing? Are we building on the rock? Are we hearing this and actually doing something with it? That's what Jesus is hitting at in Matthew 7. So you know what, church? I'm going to hit us with a hard question this morning. Is our faith just talk? Is that what our faith is? Is it just talk? Are we obeying the commands? Yeah, because if we hear that Jesus is the rock, then what should we do with that? We need to obey. Church, forget loving our enemies for a second. Let's start off with the ones that are supposed to be easier than that. Are we loving our neighbor? Are we caring for widows and orphans? Are we in God's word and not of the culture? Are we being set apart? Are we making sure our minds are clear? Are we staying away from everything that will entangle us? Greed, lust, envy. Here is a fear of mine as a pastor, is that we as the church, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying we, I'm in this too, as we walk by people day in and day out, their assessment of us might be like, oh, okay, they go to church, and then it stops there. It means nothing. Because there's nothing on the backside of just being in church or saying, yep, I believe. That's a fear I have. Or if we weren't involved in their lives, nothing would change. Honestly, what I'm hitting at this morning is this. Is our faith just talk? Guys, are we being hypocrites? And let me tell you something. Yes, we all are. C.S. Lewis has a great quote, and it goes this way. Hypocrisy afflicts us all. Its hold is strongest, it seems to me, on those who claim they are completely free of the flaw. You might be in the room and be like, man, this is uncomfortable. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm like, yeah, you are. We all are. So am I. The goal is this, that I'm going to be less of a hypocrite every day because guess what? I want to build my house on the rock. And what that means is I'm going to prepare for building my house on the rock. I'm going to study in God's word. I'm going to be in worship. I'm going to connect with people around me. I'm going to serve. And I'm going to love my neighbor. And I'm going to strive to love my enemies as Jesus has asked me to do. So church, if that's what we're driving towards, let me ask this question. What are you building on? What are we building on? Because if we're not building on the rock, and I think that's pretty a fair assessment today in our culture that we're really not, there's only a couple answers I think that we could be building on that are going to be flawed. Number one is this. Are we building on ourselves or yourself? I get it. This one's near and dear to me. Oh man, I've been through a lot in life. I know I can handle this. When storms have come, I know I got this. Do we? Is that where we're at, that we're so self-assured in the control of ourselves as individuals? What happens when death comes for someone around you? You got that? What happens when you walk in and the job is not there? You got that? What happens when our kids fall away and are going down a path that we know leads to any kind of destruction in their life? Do we got that? When those storms of life happen, church, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't got it. I don't have it. So it's not good to build on that. The second one is this. Maybe what we're doing is we're building on someone else. All right. Some of you in here might be like, man, I got a great marriage. I've built my house on my spouse. I know that together we can tackle anything, and so we're good. Don't need nothing else. This relationship. Church, I promise you, when a storm comes that's big enough, that will fall. What happens in those moments when something happens in your marriage and you actually question, maybe for the first time, can I truly trust my spouse? That's hard. That's a storm that you, building on yourself or somebody else, cannot handle. The third one is this. Are you building on the world? All right. Let me go there. We are 1 month away from my favorite time of year of every 4 years, called election season. I'm being sarcastic. As a pastor, it's not my favorite time of year. And I want you to hear me on this, because I know some of us in here, maybe we've done this. Because for somebody in this room, no matter what happens in November, it's going to be a storm for somebody. I don't care who wins. Somebody's going to be like, this is a storm, and it's come from the pits of hell. Like, that's what we're going to be like with this. And my problem, church, is this. If that's what we've built on, if that is what we're building on, as long as this outcome happens, I know that the house is on the rock. It will only take a small storm from the enemy to topple that one. Because guess what? 6 months later, life goes on. Church, are we building our house on the rock? More importantly, is our mindset on the kingdom of God? We get so focused as people. We don't like to prepare. We go in and out of our days. And we grab onto things. Ourselves, somebody else, the world. And we put our faith and hope and trust in those, when the only thing our faith, hope, and trust should solely be in as our top priority is God himself and his son Jesus. Paul tells us in Philippians, church, remember, your citizenship is heaven. Do you know what that means? This is temporary. We're called to be stewards. And yes, we're called to be good stewards of the land we live in. But we need to keep a kingdom mindset that our hearts are set on things above. That is how we need to start building on the rock. In fact, Moses, at the end of his song in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and this is a couple chapters where Moses is dead and gone, says this, "And when Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, 'Take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law, for it is not empty word for you, but your very life.'" Hear that? "For it is not empty word for you, but your very life." Guys, building on the rock, it has eternal significance to it, but also has extremely temporal significance to it with us right now. I get it. I've talked about three areas when we build on false things, it's not going to look well. So how do we as the church, how do we as people, how do we as believers build on the rock? How do we do this? Let me start with number one. We listen to the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us this, that even when we struggle in prayers, when storms of life come and we have no idea what to do, what to say, the Spirit, if we're believers, intercedes for us. I mean, the Spirit takes over, knowing our will, knowing what we want, and asking God for it. And then so we listen to the Spirit of God. For those of you maybe new to church, like, whoa, this is kind of weird. What is the Spirit? Let me explain it to you. At church, we believe our God, all right, it's three in one person, but Father God, Creator, Son, who came to earth, died on the cross for us, and Spirit. We believe that Jesus, when he left, as Jesus gave us commands of, hey, it's good that I go, that I leave you something greater, and that is the Spirit. For some of us, it's easier to remember that that Spirit, as we've become believers, is just a conscience talking to us and an internal feeling of knowing the leading. How we get there and have an understanding of the Spirit is through prayer, and it's through the Word. So we listen to the Spirit. Secondly, we obey God's commands. Sarcastically, I think sometimes as a people, as we look through Scripture and we're like, hey, here's a command, you know, love our neighbor, you know, love our enemy, you know. We sometimes take those as suggestions. And here's what we say with those. Oh, you know what? God, I get it. 99% of the time, you're right on. But this situation, I don't think, if you knew the context of this, you would really be wanting me to do that. Guys, I do this too. It's a command. It is how we obediently show God we love him, is because we are willing to not only hear him and believe him, but we obey him. In fact, 1 John chapter 5, it tells us, obeying God's commands is like showering love on him. Some of you might have been in church for a long time, and you might be like, I don't even know the commands of God. And I would say this, that's because we are not doing our due diligence in the Word and in study. I showed you earlier that there was 750 million downloads on the Bible app, and 10% read it daily. You know, I think it's sad that we actually have this study, but Barna did a study, and the majority of Christians, you see the bulk of them read their Bible 3 to 4 times a year. First off, it makes me almost cry in my soul that we actually had a category that said 3 or 4 times a year for Bible reading on a statistic, but whatever. Guys, that's where we're at. And what I'm telling you this morning is it's not okay. I also know that we saw the most decrease in scriptural reading and in discipline a couple years ago, and we saw that coincided with church attendance as it went down. I will be the first preacher on this stage that tells you all the time, being in this room is not mandated. Coming to church on Sunday does not save you. But you know what it does do? It helps us be disciplined. It helps us have people around us that pick us up and go in the same direction together and encourage one another. So yes, being in this room is important. Attending service is important. And I know I shouldn't have to say this, because opening this book, if you're a believer, is important. And reading and studying the Word. Let me tell you why. It's not just so you can check a box, and it's not just because, oh, you know what, God expects this of me, so I should do it. The reason we do this is because we want something better. And Jesus gave us an amazing thing called the Bride of Christ, which is the church. You know what this thing does, what we do here? When any of us face a storm in life that we can't handle, and we're building our house on the rock, you know one of the greatest things that God gives us around us as instruments is each other. Because if whatever you face, the storm of life, I guarantee you, somebody else in this room has. And so having those conversations, saying, man, God forbid, I just lost a family member that was really close to me. Somebody else's room has. I know there's a good section of our audience this morning that they're taking care of aging parents. We have so many doing that, and I know it comes with some trials. Talk to each other. Lead on each other. That's why it's important that we're in the Word and in this room, because we're not meant to do this alone. And it's not just a box to check for holiness. It's something God has given you because he wants so much more for you. Dave read a verse earlier in his forgiving that, you know, John 10:10, and he wants us to have life to the full. Part of that means is we should know what he really has planned for us. So we listen to the Spirit, we obey God's commands, and number three, we accept Christ as the rock. We accept Christ as the rock. A lot of us in here probably have already done that. I get it. A lot of us in here, like me, are working on numbers two and number one. But maybe you're in here this morning and you've never done that. Let me talk about how Matthew 7 ends here. In this sermon, Jesus says this. And when Jesus finished these sayings, here's what happens. The crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. They were astonished. Why? You can read it in the text. And they did a comparison on it. He was teaching us as one who had authority and not just as a scribe. What that really means is this. Jesus was actually saying, hey guys, here's what's good for you. Here's what's best for you. Here's what's going to be amazing about this. And he wasn't just regurgitating Old Testament prophecy or Old Testament law. He was saying, guys, if you build this house on the rock, let me take this illustration further. If you do this, you are going to be a wise man, because guess what? When the storms of life come, nothing will be able to take you down. And more importantly, as the Jewish audience was hearing this from Jesus, what they would have heard is this. Guess what? When the final judgment happens, you build your house in the rock. When this is all gone, when this is all done, you build your house in the rock, it will still be there because I am that rock. And I'm going to be with you for eternity. Understand what that meant to them. A people that is oppressed at this time, Roman occupation, taxed beyond belief, suffering. And Jesus stops. And instead of just doing what other scribes and other priests have done, Jesus says this to them. And he spoke it with authority. And they were astonished. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as that rock of your life, and what I mean by that is this. If you've never put your faith and your hope and trust in Jesus, knowing that he is our Savior, that God has sent, died on the cross for our sin, I want to read what Paul writes about in Colossians. And this is Paul talking about himself, but I want to read what he says here. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated by him, by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. Guys, this is the gospel message right here. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless, and you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you have received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Let me say it this way. If you've never put your hope and your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior, maybe it needs to start here. Are you tired? Are you tired of the storms of life that you're facing right now? The broken relationships, the addictions, the family turmoil, the rat race of just trying to get more money and more money to have more possession, and it's never going to make us happy enough. Are you just tired of it? If you lost someone close to you and you don't know how to handle that storm, what I'm telling you this morning is if you've never put your hope and trust in Jesus, sometimes one of the best ways to come to faith is by saying, you know what, I want something different. Maybe what this random guy on stage this morning said is true, and I want to give that a shot. Guys, it's okay to start there. And it's okay to start there. And I want you to know, if that's you this morning, I want to have a conversation with you. I'm selfish. Forget the prayer workers for a second. I want to talk to you. But if you don't want to talk to me, I'm a little intimidated, that's fine. Talk to our prayer workers. They're going to be on the side walls and have a conversation with them and say, you know what? I do want this. I do want to try this thing out. I do believe there could be power in this, and I'm tired of living this way. Here's what I can tell you. It'll be the greatest decision you ever make. I would never go back and allow myself not to make that decision. You know why? Because when I face storms in life and things go utterly wrong, I remember the most important thing of all. God is in control. And I rest in the peace and knowledge that He has me. And most importantly, I know when the end of all this is over, when the world is done, that I still rest in that and I get to be with Him in unity, and nothing makes me more excited. That's if you've never done that before. For those of you like me that have been doing this a while, there's encouragement for you in those words. There's actually encouragement and there's also a call. Did you hear it? But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you got the good news. I don't care what storm you are going through. God is still good. I don't care what storm is affecting you right now. God is still on the throne. Now, personally, do I care about what you're going through? Absolutely. But you know what I'm trying to say is this. What I'm trying to say is what you think is taking you down right now, it is not going to take you down. Put your faith in God and remember what He's already rescued you from. Remember that. Because nothing you face, man, Romans tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us? And guess what? The answer is nothing. Absolutely nothing. So to end the Storm Chaser series, let me end it this way. Storms of life, it is life. They're going to happen. Day in and day out. But man, I gladly will say this to you. It does not matter, because I serve a Savior who speaks to creation and He calms the storm. I talk about a Savior who walks on water and actually lets His people walk on water. I serve a Savior who through a storm and a trial shows me my purpose. All I gotta do is prepare and build myself on Him. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful this morning that we can just gather in Your house this morning. Thank you for all that are online. God, as we just remember the words, honestly, of the gospel, that You sent us Your Son. And God, nothing can stand against us when we have Jesus. God, I don't know what's going on in this room, what's affecting the lives of everyone around. May we remember that if we're built on the rock, we will withstand anything the world can throw at us. And God, we're so thankful for Your Son. We pray this in Your most holy name.